Okay, it's now November 18th, 2007, 1 week later, and we are back with Baba, Hilda Prager, and we are going to, instead of continuing on chronologically, we're going to look back at the same time period and bounce around to cover some topics that we missed last time. So I had asked you about your friends, and one friend we didn't mention was your friend Mary. First, tell me about how you met her and what you did together.
I met her at the Hapoel Mizrahi. I think it was the Benos Yaakov, Benos Yaakov, every Shabbos. We met, and we became close friends. And I met her family. It was a big family. Unfortunately, her mother had cancer of the breast, and she eventually died.
What did you do together with Mary?
We met out, went out on dates. Can I tell you a funny story? We went on a date with two fellows, and we went to the movies, and we didn't like how they were acting. They were trying to get funny with us. So Mary whispered to me, "Hilda, let's go to the bathroom, and let us tell the fellow, the guard that takes care of the movie house, tell him that the men should not sit in the back, that they're not permitted to sit in the back so that we can run out and make our escape." So then, and we told him why. And the fellas came and they sat in the back seat and we were dying to get out. So he told the boys that they were not permitted to sit in the back seat. They had to go back to their original seat. I went to their seat and we made our escape. It was a pouring rain and we didn't have enough fare, Mary and I. We just had fare for one trolley and we needed two trolleys. And we took that one trolley and the rest of the time we walked. I came home absolutely drenched and Papa was up. He said, "Hinda, where were you? Why are you so wet?" I said, "Mary and I went to the movies and we didn't have enough car fare to get home. So we walked the rest of the way," and he accepted that excuse. I tell you, she was so smart when she made up that excuse that thank God we got rid of those two fellas. And their name was Friend. Their last name was Friend.
How old were you about that?
I was about I was, 16.
And do you remember what the movie was?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
When you said like you didn't tell your father, is that was that typical? Did you often not?
Absolutely.
How about your mother? Did you confide in her?
I didn't tell her.
And so how far away did Mary live from you?
Mary didn't live far. 5 minutes.
Did she go to school with you?
No.
And so did you see her most weeks?
I used to see her every Shabbos. Yes.
So she was one of your best friends?
Not best, one of my friends.
And then later on, something very sad happened with
Very
her.
sad. She took her mother's death terribly. She couldn't accept it that her mother was gone. She was very close to her mother. And unfortunately, she drank iodine and killed herself.
How old was she?
She was 16.
And how did you find out?
I found out from her father. Her father told me.
Did you go to her
And
funeral?
I went to her funeral. I just remember, I didn't go to the cemetery, but I went to the shul and I cried my eyes out. I never stopped crying. It was really something that I couldn't accept, taking your life, committing suicide. I didn't know of anyone doing that. So that was one sad thing in my young life.
And you had another very sad thing in your young life that we didn't talk about. Tell me about what happened to your grandfather.
Zaida was about 86, 87 years old,
How old were you?
and I was 16. I
Same
was
year.
16, yeah. And I already knew Mac, and just breaks my heart. And Zaida was the most charitable, wonderful human being. He just worked to give people charity. Went to shul every morning, davened, and he collected money for the poor. And this young man was a black man, and he worked for the mikveh, did work in the mikveh. However, my aunt Buddy, who was divorced, lived in the house with him upstairs, and she brought a lot of silver from her home, and she displayed it, you know, so that he could see it. And when he came up to clean the house, he saw the silver, and he felt when Zaida went to shul to collect money for the poor, it was a good opportunity for him to steal the silver. And he was in the midst of stealing when Zaida came home. And Zaida, I don't know what happened, you know, when he killed him, but the cops said that he killed him with a bedpost, beat him to death. And it was Chol HaMoed Pesach, and I lived around the corner. The cops came to the house, and they said, does your grandfather live around the corner? And I said, yes, he does. And he said, we want you to come to identify his body. And that was the stupidest way of telling me something terrible. I said, what happened? He said, your grandfather is murdered. I went around the corner and I looked aside and fainted. And then the next horrible thing was when my mother came home from the beauty parlor. She saw a crowd of people, and we told her, the girls, all of us, told her what happened to Zaida, and she fainted. So that was just a horrible day in my life.
Now I remember, actually, Papa, your husband, yes, told me that that was 1937. Mm-hmm. So that was a little later, a little after what happened with Mary. So right. You suffered these two very sad things.
Very sad.
What kind of effect did that have on you? Do you remember?
I thought about it all the time. But I cried a lot for Zaida.
You were very close with him.
I loved him. He was so kind. He was so good. And he always greeted Mac. You know, he didn't ignore him like other men, and he didn't wear a yarmulke. So that didn't affect him in any way.
You mean Mac didn't wear a yarmulke?
Right, Mac.
And you were telling me that another person in your family was also supportive of your dating Papa.
Oh, yes.
Who is that?
Anda Baba. Anda Baba was less than 5 feet tall, and her husband was about 6 foot three or two or something like that, a handsome man. And she was the sweet, oh, I adored her. You know, I always speak about her. And she called me Hinda Lazisa. That means sweet Hindi. And
and about how she supported you being with Papa.
I told her, I cried to her, that my father told me I should not go with that, with the Mac. I cannot go with him. I should stop seeing him. So that weekend that I broke up with Mac,
right,
I had diarrhea, excuse me. And I was sitting in the bathroom, and my grandmother, my Aunt Baba, came in the bathroom with me. That didn't deter her from coming in. And she said...
Were you sick because of the breakup?
Absolutely. I loved Mac very much from the first day I met him.
And what did she say?
Very much. And she took me around and she said to me, my husband ruined his daughter's lives because he did not let them go with the men that they selected to be their husbands. He ruined Aunt Helen's life. He didn't let her marry another man that she really loved, but she married this crook. He was a crook, he was a thief, and he was a gambler. And then her other daughter didn't listen to her mother. She eloped. And in those days, you didn't elope. And she was the talk of the town. The whole school spoke about Mr. Friedfeld's daughter eloping. So she said to me, Hindle, don't listen to your father. Listen to me. I'm telling you, go with this boy. Don't drop him. You go with him. Don't listen to your father. He'll ruin your life. And, of course, I didn't listen to Papa.
So her talk had a big effect on you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did she speak to you in English or Yiddish?
In Yiddish.
Did you speak to all of your grandparents in Yiddish?
Mostly, yeah. My broken Yiddish.
How old were you when you learned Yiddish?
Oh, I'll tell you. They spoke to me from when I was a little girl in Yiddish. And that's how I learned.
And what happened then when you told your father that you were going to be back with Mac?
I told my father, I remember like yesterday. I said, Papa, I don't care what you say, I am going to marry Mac. He's a wonderful boy, and Papa, I'm telling you, I'm definitely going to marry him. And he wasn't too happy, but he already was accustomed to it. He accepted it.
And that brings us to one other little story that we were going to fix. We had a slight mistake last time. Which is that when you and Papa decided to get married, you were saying that you didn't actually mail him the invitations because he was involved in the planning, but rather to the wedding. In other words, rather you went
in. You know it better than I do.
Well, we were talking about it earlier. Rather, what did you do? You went in, you talked to him about it? Or do you remember? You told your father that you were going to get married.
Yes.
And then he planned. He helped plan.
And then he said, okay, we're going to go to Trotsky's. And that's what he did. He made the arrangements. And in those days, when you checked your clothing, you had to give a tip. But Papa, for the first time, he paid the tips. So that was something that people were talking about. That was a big thing. That Mr. Friedfeld paid for the tips for the people.
This was where you checked your clothing
where? In Trotsky's.
You mean in preparation for the wedding?
Right. Exactly. It's a very big thing.
What did it mean to you that he did that?
I was very proud of him. I was happy. At least he was accepting Mac a little bit.
That's wonderful.
It really was a big thing then.
Was he tight with money?
A little bit, and he had money, and he spent it very foolishly. He played the stock market all the time, and I hated it.
He
came home every night, aggravated. The stocks went up, the stocks went down, and then after dinner, he would go to the local store. And he would buy the Herald Tribune, I think, or something, to see what the stocks were.
Do you recall if he lost a lot of money in 1929, when the market crashed?
He did.
Do you remember him talking about that? Or?
All I know is I had to write a composition. And I remember the last line. And the last line Papa gave me. And Papa said, we are all going to go to the poorhouse.
This was a composition for school?
And Papa gave me the last line, and that was the last line, which I will never forget.
And were you afraid then that the family would end up with no money?
I tell you the truth, it was a very scary time. Very scary. And especially when Papa said, we're all going to go to the poorhouse.
You mentioned also to me that he would sometimes head off without your mother. I think you said maybe on Sundays?
Every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock, knock on the door. That was Anda Baba's husband. He came.
What did you call him?
I called him Taida. Yeah. And he came to the house, woke up the family. Papa was all ready, and he took him in his car driving the entire day.
Where did they go?
I don't know. They went by themselves, the two of them. for a good time. And my poor mother, she was so sad. She would say to me, "See, I'm all alone. I have to hang the laundry. I have to make dinner instead of Papa taking me out instead of his father." She said, "I wouldn't mind if he would take him once in a while. But what about me? I am human." That's what it was. Never took her out on a Sunday.
Because Sundays were the day when you were free, I guess, to have.
Yes.
And he spent everyone with his father-in-law.
Everyone.
Do you have any ideas of what maybe they were doing? You said for a good time. What do you think?
They probably went to, Papa maybe took him to the country, you know, and to the Bronx and all over. And he came home late.
What kind of car did he have, your papa?
He had a,
Well, we'll talk about that later.
What was it?
That's okay.
All right.
Let me ask you this. You said maybe he took him to the country. Sometimes you went to the country in the summers.
Now.
Where did you go?
Papa, every single summer, we went to three different places. Early in my life, we went to Rockaway. No, we went to Tannersville first, early. Tannersville was beautiful. We had a lovely bungalow. And this is the funniest thing. Mr. Wilsey, who owned the bungalow, he put it on wheels. He wheeled his house away, and he wheeled the bungalow that we would live in back to the area that we were supposed to stay. It was the funniest thing in the world.
How long did you go there during the summer? What did you do?
Oh, I had a wonderful time. I went with the Farmer Jones. That was his name. He took me all the time. I milked the cows. I drank the milk, which was awful. Too hot. And he showed me how to make butter, and he was the sweetest man. And I went in his, I think I have a picture of me in his wagon. It was wonderful.
How old were you?
I was
a little girl, or
a little girl. I was a little girl when we went to Tannersville.
5, 6, 7.
Yeah, 8. I would say 8 or so. Yes, because in Rockaway I was older.
And in Tannersville, how long were you there?
Every summer for a few summers.
For a few months or a few weeks?
A few months.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And did your father stay
Papa
there?
He used to come every weekend.
So he stayed working. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you were there with your sisters?
Yes.
And you rented a place there?
Right.
Did they have fun too?
Oh, we all had fun. We had a marvelous time.
Was it a Jewish community there in the summer?
No.
Was there shul or?
No Jewish. And I remember my aunt Buddy, who was in the house, who lived in the house with around the corner Zaida. She had her silverware displayed, I told you. She came to Tannersville with black eyes because her husband beat her, Charlie Clurfane.
He did this often?
He beat her a lot.
Did they have any children?
Oh, no children.
Did anyone ever notify the police?
No, never. And my father was very upset with her because she lived with him. She continued to live with him.
So growing up, you saw a lot of not-so-good marriages.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, and Buddy was beaten.
And it made you, I imagine, want to be in a very happy marriage.
I was very upset, you know, and I was wondering why she continued to live with him. Why live with him? And that Papa couldn't look at her. He was so angry with her. And Mama used to take care of her and tell her, "Why do you continue to live with that bum?" But she said, "I love him."
You mentioned her eyes. That made me think, your son Kenny, my dad, has told me about a funny laugh that she had.
Oh, yes.
Because of her eyelashes.
Yes.
So tell us about that.
She used to make up with false eyelashes. False eyelashes means that you get eyelashes, you paste them on yours, and they're very, very long. and she made up a lot. She was a dancer when she was young. She was really a pretty woman, beautiful, very tall, taller than I am. And was that good English?
It sure was.
Yeah, good. And she laughed. It was a riot, really.
And she didn't want the eyelashes to fall off.
But sometimes they did.
So she laughed with her shoulders, as
that's
you're showing
right,
me now.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
And then after Tannersville, you started going to Rockaway in
Rockaway.
The summers. And
we
what
had
was
a
that like?
That was glorious. We were right on the water. And in those days, it was really elegant. You know, today, unfortunately, you know, it's a very poor area, very downtrodden. And we were right on the water. And I just loved it. And I never swam. But Rosalind Gettleman, my friend who lived there, taught me to swim. So I was able to lie down in the water. I was so happy, but I never swam. I was always scared of water because my mother always said to me, Hilda, you don't have to swim because I don't want you to drown. She always said that.
Did your sisters swim?
Yes, they did. They went to camp, all of them.
And you didn't?
I never.
They went to camp at Rockaway and in Tannersville?
No, they went to camp when they were older. You know, they went to summer camp, sleepaway, and they learned how to swim.
What did you do when they were at camp?
I stayed home with Mama.
What did you do?
I played with the girls. I played with Bundy, the girl next door, who ate candy all day.
So was that at an age after Rockaway that they went to camp?
Yeah, they were older.
It sounds like, not all the sisters were older.
I was the oldest. Chippy is younger, and Pearl is youngest.
What about your older sister?
Esther, she went to camp.
So there are a few stories now that you've told me where you did something slightly different than the other three. You had your own room while the others shared a room. They went to camp and you didn't. They went to college and you didn't. It sounds like you were in a slightly different way than the other were. Tell me about that.
I was entirely different. My personality was different. Pearl was very shy. Chippy was more outgoing and Esther was not outgoing. But I was extremely, extremely outgoing. I really had a great personality. And my object in life was to be an actress. I wanted to be an opera singer, an actress. I just loved life. I loved singing. I sang all day, all day.
And that brings up something else you mentioned. You sang on the radio.
Yes, I did.
How old were you?
I was 12 years old. I know exactly.
And how did that, what program was it, and how did it come to be?
My Aunt Helen. See, my mother was deaf. So she really didn't do too much, you know, for us. And my Aunt Helen was told by the elocution teacher that I had a wonderful voice, and she was the one that got me the elocution lessons with my cousin Connie. And the elocution teacher heard me sing, and she said, Hilda, I'm going to get you on this program. And this was a very famous program, very famous.
What was it called?
It was called the Horn and Hardart Children's Hour.
That was like the grocer, right? Horn and Hardart? Didn't they have those automated food machines?
Exactly. That's what they had. You put in money and you got your food out, whatever you wanted, right? And I sang. And I also sang on a Jewish program.
Well, first tell me about the Horn and Hardart. What did you sing and where did you go to do it?
I sang in New York.
In a studio.
In a studio with a lot of other people. And when he introduced me, he says, this is one of our newest singers, Hilda Friedfeld. And I sang Look for the Silver Lining, and then I sang another one, sing song, so hop toy, all the same like China boy, But he, Sally, girl with joy, pity poor Ming Toy. A ripple I sing on life's mystic stream, and I don't remember the end. It was beautiful.
That is beautiful. How did you learn that song?
I learned it through Miss Paulet, the elocution teacher.
And can you sing the other song, The Silver Lining?
I sang it in the other tape.
So you have a great memory, Baba.
I sure did. And I just sang it to Ariel and to Tamar.
Now, when you sang this on the radio program, were you hoping that this would lead to more singing and professional career?
I sang Lullaby of the Leaves. I don't remember that.
Were you disappointed that you didn't become a professional singer?
My father always told me that only bums do.
Did he discourage you then?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. As a matter of fact, he had a singing teacher come to the house, and she heard me sing opera. And she said I had a beautiful voice. And, we didn't live in a very nice house. And she looked around, and probably she thought that she'd never get paid or something. I don't know. So she never pursued it.
What was the second program that you sang on, the radio program you just mentioned?
It was a Jewish program.
Where was that, and when was that?
That was in a place, a Jewish hall, Jewish hall. And I didn't sing Jewish. I sang English, and I sang, I was only there once.
How old were you?
Also that age, 12.
What did you sing?
That I don't remember, but it was an English song.
What did you look like when you were a little girl? Tell me what your hair was like and what you wore.
My hair, I wore bangs, and I was blonde, and I had blue eyes, and I loved to dress, because my father was in the dress business, but when I was 12, he didn't have clothing for me. He had clothing for when I was older, and I used to get a dress every Friday. That's why I love clothing today, it's just part of me. And when I was about 14, I started to make up mascara and blush and lipstick. I loved it, I just loved it. And the nail polish. And I took permanents. My hair used to be curly because it was very straight. And my sister Chippy had very curly hair, and I loved her curly hair. So I wanted to emulate her, and I took these permanents, which was great. And I was always at the mirror. I remember being at the mirror all the time looking at myself.
And where did you go to get the permanents?
I went to the beauty parlor.
How old were you the very first time you went to the beauty parlor?
Oh, I was about 14. Sure.
And it was a good experience?
I loved it. Oh, I loved it. Anything to play around with me. They used to make me up.
Your sisters?
The beauticians in the beauty parlor.
How old were you when you were able to start wearing the clothes in your father's store?
I was about 16. And I wore every week. Papa bought me a dress. I just loved it.
Did he bring your sister's dresses?
Yes.
Did they enjoy it too?
Not as much as I did. Not as much as I was. I was thrilled when Papa came in. Oh, Papa got the box. I saw the box. I was elated. I'm getting a dress.
What were the things that made your sisters excited?
I really don't remember much about them getting excited about anything. I really don't remember. I remember Esther working and coming home and cleaning the house, which I hated. And Chippy, she was sweet. Oh, Chippy was a beauty. Chippy was a Marilyn Monroe. She really was. She was magnificent. And Pearl was very shy. Oh, my God. Terribly shy.
You said you had bangs. Did you later change your hairstyle?
Yes, I did.
What did you do?
Sure, I wore it back, and we called it a page boy fluff. Long. I have pictures of it. Very pretty.
Long?
Yeah, it's pretty long. Not too long. I never had very long hair.
What was your hair like when you were dating Papa?
When I was dating Papa? Oh, I used to have it very nice. The page boy fluff. Every week I went to the beauty parlor. Mama gave me money. And I worked. And it was, you know, in the dress shop. Yeah, I loved that. I loved it.
And now we'll fast forward a little bit to when you were with Papa. And we had talked about how my father, Kenny, was born. That was 1943.
Yeah.
And the next year, something very sad happened with Papa's sister, 1944. So tell me about that with Irene.
That was from Papa's sister. That was my father-in-law's daughter.
That's right. Your father-in-law's daughter.
Right.
Is Papa's sister. I'm sorry, Papa. I meant my Papa.
Right,
it's confusing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
yeah.
That was my bad.
Right. Yeah, Papa's
Mac's sister.
Yeah. Right. Well, Papa was in the Navy, and he was in Wellesley, Mass. And he was learning to be a lieutenant. And every Saturday he came home. And everyone accepted it that he did ride on Shabbos, because, you know, otherwise we couldn't see him. And it was so wonderful looking forward to having my husband home on Shabbos until Sunday. It was just glorious. And Kenny was 1 year old. And one Shabbos, Gertie came to my mother's house where I lived. And it was about 7 o'clock in the morning. She knocked on the door and I went down. Gertie, that's my sister-in-law, Mac's brother's wife. And I said, Gertie, what are you doing here so early? She said, I have very bad news. Irene committed suicide. I said, what? Well, I got dressed and I went to meet Mac at the station. Utica Avenue Station. I met him, and I said, Mac, I really have very bad news for you. Your sister committed suicide. And he sat down on the nearest bench and just had to get her breath back, his breath back. He just couldn't believe what I was telling him. He was beside himself. He was a mess. I'm surprised he didn't faint on the spot. Anyhow, we went home, and it was very sad.
Were you aware at that point that she was depressed?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 2 days before she died, she came to Baba's house, my mother's house, where I lived, and she came to visit Kenny. She adored him. And she came to visit him. When she was leaving, she went to cross the street and she almost got killed. She didn't look if the car was coming or anything. I said, Irene, what are you doing? You got to take care of yourself. You almost got hurt. And all she did was smile to me. That was all. And then she also called the ambulance for herself, which her mother wasn't aware of. So when they came and they knocked on the door, my mother-in-law said, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. Nobody here has called for an ambulance. So apparently she wanted to help herself, you know? But in those days, it was just not to be.
And did you ever talk about it with, or did Papa, your husband, talk about it, if you're aware of this, with his mother afterwards?
I have no idea.
Did you talk about it with anyone in the family?
I didn't speak to anyone in the family, no.
And how did she kill herself?
She jumped from the roof of the building.
And where was she buried?
Very high.
Where was the funeral?
Funeral?
Do you remember? Well, do you remember anything about the funeral?
Not a thing. Not a thing. I was just hysterical.
And poor Papa, your husband, then had to go back to...
Oh, 3 days later. They gave him 3 days' leave.
And so he sat Shiva.
He sat Shiva, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about what Wellesley was like. Because
Beautiful.
You would go there to visit him, right?
I lived there. Papa got me an apartment on the ground floor. And Mrs. Neal, the lady, was the sweetest thing that you can possibly meet. She was a landlady, and she was wonderful to me. Oh, and she knew I had a bench left, light candles, and she was the sweetest thing in the world. And Kenny was 18 months old, and we lived in that apartment.
So it was late 1944.
Right. And every day we took the bus, and we went to visit Mac. And Kenny used to say, "On the bus. Money, man." And he...
Yes, I'm sorry.
He used to give the man the fare. He loved that, you know. And we got off the bus, and we see Papa. He's supposed to do exercise. No way. He was all the way in the back. He didn't lift a finger.
Why is that?
Hates exercise.
And that was okay?
Nobody saw him. He was old, and I sat and laughed to myself. If anyone saw me, they must have said, "This lady is crazy." Really.
And was he wearing a uniform yet?
Sure.
What did he look like in his uniform?
Gorgeous. He was so handsome. Really. Stunning. Stunning.
And how long about were you and he in Wellesley?
For the summer.
About and
2 months.
And then what?
And then I had to go home.
And where did he go?
And he went to Seattle or wherever, you know.
And how long was he in Seattle before he went off to sea?
Well, I went to visit him in Seattle.
And what was that like?
That was quite an experience. I went with the train to Seattle. And the train was so crowded with the military, you know. It was just, there was no room for anyone. And I was really brought up in a ghetto. I didn't know anything about anti-Semitism. And I was sitting next to a wave, which means a lady in the Navy. And this Jewish fellow, probably from New York, you know, he was so tired. I had to stand for 2 days. There were no seats. I was lucky to get a seat. In fact, I asked him, "Would you please take my seat? I'm sitting so long, you could sit for a while." He wouldn't do it. However, he did sit down on the arm of this wave's seat. I sat near the window, and she sat on the outer seat. And he sat down on the arm of her chair, and she turned to me and she said to me, "He's probably one of those New York City Jews."
Did you say anything?
I was beside myself. You know, you must remember that I was brought up, as I said, in a ghetto. I never knew about anti-Semitism. I was born with Jews, you know? And I was so taken aback. I never said a word to her after that. And the funniest part was, here I'm running to meet my husband, who I love so much, I couldn't wait to take him in my arms and kiss him and tell him I love him. And I said, "Mac, you see that girl? You know what she said to me? She said he's probably one of those New York City Jews. She's an anti-Semite." And that was really cute. huge, you know, because here I have to meet Mac and love him and everything, and I'm telling him about this girl. I couldn't get over it.
Was your son with you? Kenny, was
he? No, no. My mother was taking care of him. Sure.
And so how long were you in Seattle?
A few days, just a few days, because Mac was shipping out, you know.
Did you stay in a hotel?
Yes. Yes, as a matter of fact, when I went up to the hotel, he left his, he was on a scooter, you know, whatever. What do you call them? You know, like the cops.
A motorcycle.
Motorcycle, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he left his friends for a minute, and they came up, and of course we didn't see each other, so we were really loving. And the guys were calling him on the phone, come on, we're waiting for you. So
and then, did he then leave right from Seattle?
He left, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so how long did he head off for? How long was it until you saw him again?
Gee, you know, I think till the end of the war.
And did you write to each other?
I wrote him every single day. Every single day. And I sent him pictures.
What did you write him?
I wrote him about the day's events. Everything that I did. I wrote him every time I met a friend. They asked me how you are. I started to cry. And every night when I put Kenny to sleep, I took Mac's picture and he had to kiss it. God bless Daddy and God bless the Bollinger. And he was so bored. God bless Daddy, God bless the Bollinger. Couldn't wait to get rid of it.
What was the Bollinger?
The ship. The name of the ship.
And where did you send the letters to?
I sent the letters to APO something.
And you have told me in the past that you also wrote very sort of loving, sexy things.
I certainly did.
Why did you do that?
Because I missed it. Missed it, and I worried. I worried terribly because I didn't hear from him for about 40 days. Where could he post a letter? You know.
Where did you sit in the house to write your letters?
I used to sit late at night in the kitchen when everyone was away.
And when did you see him next?
The end of the war.
Where was that? Where did you meet him?
He came to Chabas. He came to Carroll Street. To my parents' home, and we had a sign outside, Welcome Home, Daddy Mac. I wish I saved it.
And what was that like, having him home after that time?
Oh,
was it hard? Was it wonderful?
God. When I tell you, Josh, it was heaven on earth. It was so wonderful. First of all, he was so gorgeous in his uniform. And having him home, safe and sound. My God, I was the luckiest girl in the world because on my block, where my mother lived on Carroll Street, there was a young boy who came home never crippled.
What happened to him, do you know?
He lay on German soil for 2 days and he told me, we became very friendly. And he told me that they should have let him die.
He came home during the war?
Yeah.
And you became friendly with him?
He was discharged, yeah.
How long before Papa came home did this man come home?
Oh, it was a long time. He was hurt at the beginning of the war.
So how often did you talk to him?
Every day. Every day. He'd come out with his little boy, and I came out with Kenny. And I went in his house. And he showed me pictures of him. He was very athletic.
What was his name?
His name was Arnold.
Do you remember his last name?
No.
And where would you meet him?
On the block. We lived on the block. And he just wished that they let him die on the German soil because he was really banged up.
Was he the only returning soldier that you knew?
Yeah. Yeah. He's the only one.
And did you follow news of the war in the newspapers?
Radio. Every night we listened to this this announcer, Gabriel Heda, he spoke about him. Papa, my father, he was glued to the radio. Oh, everyone had to be quiet. He was so concerned about Mac. You have no idea. Hinda, he'd come home. Did you get a letter? He was so concerned. It was unbelievable.
Did you share parts of your letters with your family?
Some parts. That was good. I'd tell him where he was, what he did, yes.
Where was he? You know? Was he in the South Pacific, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Different parts.
And what was his job on the ship?
He was the, what do you call it? Oh, God. He was the...
That's all right. We'll fill that in.
No.
He was an officer.
Yes, of course. I know that he got messages on the tintype, you know, telling him things, and he had to decode it. That he did.
In his letters, did he seem happy on the ship to you?
I'll tell you, his letters were a riot. He told me later that he wrote about 50 letters in one night, and that's all.
What do you mean?
He didn't write every day. He sat down one night, and he wrote different dates so that I should think he wrote me every single day, which he didn't. That stinker. Yes, it's true. But not I. I was faithful. I wrote every single day. I wrote exactly what Kenny said. And you know, in order for me to remember it, I used to write it down during the day.